should be able to get away with that at all. Absolutely not. All right, so up for this next news story. It's, again, to do with the Girl Scouts, but this one's on a much lighter note. Much, much lighter note. An elevated note, I guess you could say. Girl Scouts set up their stand outside of a marijuana dispensary in San Francisco. I cannot think of a smarter business plan than that. That is probably one of the smartest things I've heard all day. And apparently they sold 117 cookie boxes in 2 hours. 2 hours. That is just ridiculous. That is so smart. That is so smart. Just about everyone loves Girl Scout cookies, this article says. And one 13-year-old girl came up with an ingenious strategy to significantly boost her sales. Yeah, definitely. That is unbelievably smart. And what's really cool is that her parents were able to say, you know, that's actually a very smart business idea. Regardless of it being technically a drug still in the government's eyes, it's quite it's definitely a controversial topic, that's for sure. And the fact that the parents were able to look past that and just see that it was a good business idea and she was smart for thinking of it is quite awesome, actually. Apparently she sold about 30 more boxes than she sold out in front of Safeway, which is definitely expected because, I mean, it's a marijuana shop and it makes you hungry, so they're going to want some Girl Scout cookies, and that's really quite cool. I think that's an absolutely great idea, and I actually probably wouldn't have even thought of that. That's very, very smart. Very smart. Up next, we are actually going to give you, I'm going to give you an update on a story we talked about last week. So, last week we talked about a woman named Kayla Finley, and she was thrown in jail for not returning a movie to a store that was closed down 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And she never returned the movie, and she went in to report another crime to a police station, and it ended up being that she had a warrant for her arrest because she did not return this movie. And so they threw her in jail, and now she's facing charges. So, luckily, now the store owner, the old store owner, because the store's not even in business anymore, the store owner dropped the charges against her, and now she can walk free. Which, thank God, who puts someone behind bars for not returning a movie? I couldn't believe that last... We talked about it last week, and I couldn't believe that. So, I'm very happy she got off free because of that. Because that, you don't throw someone behind bars because of that. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. But thank goodness she's fine now. We're all good. So this story is pretty sad. I don't... This next one, it makes me angry inside. An Arizona woman who left her 5-week-old baby in the car seat on the top of her roof as she drove off pleaded guilty to child abuse and misdemeanor DUI. See, that's something that's kind of unforgivable. You don't leave a baby on top of your car. I understand you can forget things, but you cannot forget your baby. Anywhere, especially when you're putting him in danger like that. And apparently, it would happen, according to police, she forgot the boy was on a roof of her car, because when she left her friend's house, they had all just been smoking marijuana, which is known to cause some slight, you know, memory loss, short-term memory loss. And you shouldn't be driving while under the influence of anything, really. That's just irresponsible, because you're putting other people at risk. So, that is... so sad to me that this woman could actually just not care enough to leave her 5-week-old baby in the car, on the top of her car, not even in the car, as she drove off. The baby's okay, everyone's okay, but come on. That is just ridiculous. Yeah, they said the Phoenix police arrested Clouser later after witnesses found the infant strapped in a safety seat in the middle of an intersection. The baby was fine, but can you imagine just seeing a baby in the middle of an intersection? That is just absolutely ridiculous and very, very poor parenting. Unbelievable. Now, this next story is also kind of sad, but it is also in the San Francisco area, so I'd like to make sure people know about this. There is a man who is, or actually man or woman, they're not sure who it is, putting poisonous meatballs all over San Francisco streets that are meant to kill pets. Who wants to kill a dog or a cat? That is just, because it really bothers me that someone would actually go out and just throw meatballs. Apparently they put it in like bushes and places where dogs would wander off to where their owner wouldn't be with them, so the dogs would eat it when they're not around. And that is so sad, because that's killing something that it's innocent. It's a innocent little dog or cat, and it doesn't deserve any kind of hate like that. And I'm guessing it's just a man who hates dogs or pets in general, because I can't see the kind of animosity coming from anywhere else. That's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And unfortunately, it wasn't solved quick enough, because a dachshund named Oscar picked one off the street and exhibited symptoms when his owner, Dorothy Schletcher, took him home from his walk. The next thing you know, he started to seize up and his back went up, she said. I grabbed him and we went to the vet. Unfortunately, Oscar later died. See, that's what makes me so angry, is dogs are actually dying. This isn't just something someone tried to do, but they actually succeeded. And when someone actually succeeded, that's when it's personal now. It's someone's dog actually died because some crazy man is putting meatballs in the street. Which it blows my mind that someone can actually get away with that. I'm surprised they haven't found him yet, or her. Him or her, I guess. You never really know. This next news story is hilarious. It goes back to, I told you last week about a man who left his wallet at the scene of a crime, so they got him. This one kind of goes along those lines. Carlos Ruiz allegedly stole a sound system, then later came back for the remote and got caught. Oof. Carlos Ruiz, that is not smart. Oh, you need to just get it and go. You need to make sure you have everything before you leave. A New Jersey man accused of stealing a sound system was arrested because cops said he returned to the crime scene 30 minutes after to grab the remote. Now, it says here he was actually funding a heroin addiction, which is actually quite sad, because it breaks my heart that someone can get addicted to something and depend on stealing other people's things to keep up with that addiction. And so, that's just so sad. Granted, you can't. Stealing things is terrible, and heroin is terrible. I just. Seeing someone in that helpless of a state where they need to steal someone else's things to make themselves happy is just not okay with me. And it's quite sad. And I just can't believe that he would. My guess would be that he took the sound system, went straight to a pawn shop, tried to sell it, and they said, "Where's the remote?" So he was like, oh, crud. I need to go back and get that. Drove back to the house, took the remote, and then tried to go back. But they caught him, so that's good. Why would you go back for the remote? That's just the dumbest thing ever. Going back to a crime scene, isn't that like the rule number one in that criminal book? Is just not to go back to the crime scene anytime soon after you commit the crime. Now, I'm no thief, but I'm guessing that is probably near the top of their priority list. Ah, man. Alrighty, now we are going to head to our first break of the show, and I can't wait to come back, because we're going to talk about live music and venues around the area, and what I think about them, so some of the shows coming up for them, and I absolutely cannot wait. This next song is called Young Blood by the Naked and Famous. right, we're back to Bizarro with DJ Hafo on radio.dominican.edu. Now, this part of the show is where we like to talk about live music and events happening in the Bay Area. And this is personally one of my favorite parts of the show because, as many of you know, live music is one of my passions. It's one of my most fun hobbies that I just absolutely love to do. And I love talking about it. And I love sharing my ideas and thoughts about things, and it's one of my favorite parts of the show. So today's show, we're going to talk about the different venues available to see shows in the Bay Area, and we're going to talk about some of the upcoming shows to those individual venues. Now, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to talk about all the venues in the Bay Area, because there are tons and tons. We're going to just talk about some of the ones that I've been to and I've had experience with, as well as some that I have not been to but have heard great things about. So to start off, we have the SAP Center in San Jose. Now, the SAP Center is a large arena where the San Jose Sharks play in. And the arena itself is actually, it's a pretty good venue to see someone that you like. Unfortunately, the only problem I have with it is that because it's such a big arena, you don't really get as much of a personal connection to the audience than you would in a smaller venue. I saw Imagine Dragons there about a week and a half ago, and it was a great show, absolutely fantastic show. And it's a great facility. It's in a safe area. It's a great venue to go see someone. But as I said, you don't get the personal connection with the audience that you can get in some other places. So, coming up at the SAP Center in San Jose, we have Gabriel Iglesias. Not to be confused with Enrique Iglesias, the singer. Gabriel Iglesias is a stand-up comedian that I love so much. He's absolutely hilarious. He's coming to the SAP Center February 28th and March 1st at 8 p.m. And I cannot recommend seeing him live enough. Personally, I've never seen him live before because I never had the chance. He would always be coming on a day that I had something going on, but he is so hilarious, and the fact that he can actually sell out two shows, February 28th and March 1st, at the SAP Center is actually quite incredible. I had no idea he was that popular. So Gabriel Iglesias is coming February 28th and March 1st, 8 p.m. Bruno Mars is also coming to the SAP Center in San Jose, August 15th at 8 p.m. Now, I know that's a little ways in the future. August, you're thinking, wow, fall? Really? That far? Though, Bruno Mars is a big artist, especially right now. He's really, really hot right now. And in order to get tickets to events like this, you have to plan in advance, especially these big shows, because they sell out like that. And it's almost impossible to get tickets. So that's why I'm telling you now. You got to check it out. Bruno Mars, SAP Center, San Jose, California, August 15th at 8 p.m. And another one that's going to sell out very quickly, Lady Gaga is coming June 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Personally, I like Lady Gaga a lot. I respect her. I do not listen to her music very much. It's not really quite my style, but I can appreciate her talent and her performance, and she performs well. She's very creative, that's for sure. And I can appreciate her. I can appreciate her artistic abilities, is what I'm trying to say. And our next venue is the Regency Ballroom in San Francisco. Now, the Regency Ballroom is a very great venue. It's in a safe area. It's off of Van Ness. It's not in a bad part of San Francisco. It's in a very, very nice part of San Francisco. The only problem I had with it was parking was a little bit difficult when I went there. So what I would recommend is actually parking at the Holiday Inn, which is about a block and a half down the street. And you can park in their garage. It's about $20. So it's a little expensive for parking, but it's about the only kind of parking you can get, really, over there. Street parking is hard to get, very hard to get. But if you can find it, take it. Much better than paying $20. So the Regency Ballroom, it's a great venue. It's on the smaller side. It's not too small. I'd say it's about medium sized. I just saw Skrillex there a couple weeks ago, and it was a blast. It was an absolute blast. It's a great venue. The only complaint I have is the acoustics of the building are not up to standards with some other venues I've been to, it's kind of loud and bassy, which is just an electronic show in general, really. But I've heard from many other people too that just saw like plain old bands there that it's almost too loud. It's twangy and very, I'm not sure how to put it, but it's the acoustics are not very good. You can't, the music totally takes away from any singing that you hear. And I've also heard other good things about it too, but I've also heard from multiple people that Regency Ballroom has poor acoustics. Though if you're seeing someone like Skrillex, then it doesn't really matter. You're there to hear bass and to dance your face off, and it's not something you should really be too concerned about. But upcoming to the Regency Ballroom, we have Schoolboy Q coming April 10th at 7:30 p.m. And Schoolboy Q is a hip-hop rap artist that's gotten a lot of light this year, actually. I'm personally not a huge hip-hop rap fan, though I think it's kind of cool when you see a guy who you haven't really heard of start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think that's awesome. I think that's really awesome. So again, Schoolboy Q, April 10th, Regency Ballroom at 7:30 p.m. And totally, completely different from Schoolboy Q, we have Switchfoot coming April 16th at 8 p.m. Switchfoot is actually somewhat of a Christian rock band, and I hesitate to say Christian because it doesn't really come out in their music so much, but it's very well known that the members of the band are Christian, and their band is very well accepted in the Christian community. I grew up in a Christian household, and I ended up listening to a lot of Switchfoot throughout all those times, and I like them a lot. It's not particularly my style anymore, but I saw their name pop up, and I was like, yeah, you know, they're a pretty popular band, and they're coming to the Regency Ballroom. I figure I should let people know that they're coming. So I know there's a lot of Switchfoot fans out there, so Switchfoot is coming April 16th at 8 p.m. to the Regency Ballroom. Tech 9 is coming June 2nd at 8 p.m. to the Regency Ballroom. Now, Tech 9 is another hip-hop rap artist that is personally one of my favorite people ever. He's incredibly talented, and though I don't really like hip-hop and rap, he is one of my tops for that genre. And I personally don't listen to it a lot, but my friends did all throughout high school, and he's very good. Very good especially for a genre that I don't particularly like. And so, yes, you can see him June 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Regency Ballroom. Another venue you can check out in the Bay Area is Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. And Bill Graham, I've been to countless times. I can't even remember how many shows I've been to there. It's one of my favorite venues, mainly because of all the memories I've had there. And so with Bill Graham, it's interesting. It's not as big as an arena, except you kind of get the arena feel. It's just one step down from an arena. It's very big and can seat a couple thousand people, and it has an upper level and a lower level where people generally stand. And I've seen people there like Bass Nectar and Swedish House Mafia, and oh god, I've seen Pretty Lights there and a bunch of other electronic artists there, and Deadmau5. I've seen tons of people at Bill Graham, and it's one of my favorite venues, as I said, because of all the awesome memories I have there. And I'd say they actually genuinely have pretty good acoustics. Then again, I've only really been there for electronic shows, so I can't give my full review on if you were to see a band there. Though, when I've seen an electronic show there, they've been very fun and very good. And it gets a little bit crowded, but it's, hey, you go there knowing that could happen. So you got to be prepared for that. So coming to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, we have Robin Thicke and Jesse J coming March 29th. And Robin Thicke, I've said this before on my show, he's not my favorite. He had that song Blurred Lines, which was catchy, and I got a couple listens out of that because it was just catchy and it was on the radio. So I can respect him for creating a catchy song, but he's not my favorite, but a lot of people do like Robin Thicke. So he's coming March 29th, Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. This next person, someone I love, Lana Del Rey, is coming April 18th to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. Now, I've been a huge Lana Del Rey fan ever since I first listened to her Born to Die album in my senior year of high school. So, actually, not that long ago. Feels like a long time ago. Man. But Lana Del Rey is an extremely talented songwriter and singer that I truly admire. She has a unique kind of sound, and I really like her lyrics. Her lyrics are what really get to me. You'd know her for her hit "Young and Beautiful" that was used in The Great Gatsby, the movie. And I think she's very, very talented. Very talented. And I will be attending this show on April 18th at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. Lana Del Rey. Another person coming to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, which I am a fan of, is Ellie Goulding. Is coming April 19th. Ellie Goulding is a kind of poppy, kind of electronic-y singer who broke out early in like 2008 or 9, and I've been a fan. She's got a great voice. She can create a catchy tune, and though she's pretty like mainstream or whatever you want to call it, I think she's genuinely talented, and I enjoy listening to her music. So Ellie Goulding is coming April 19th to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. The Fox Theater in Oakland is our next venue that I'd like to talk about. And the Fox Theater in Oakland is honestly one of my favorite venues because I've only seen two shows there. I saw the DJ Zed, and I saw a band named Iron and Wine. Two wildly different shows. Let me tell you, Iron and Wine is a soft, little, soft, acoustic-y type band with a soft voice, and then Zed is a dance party. It is two totally different shows, and I enjoyed them both so much. And as far as electronic shows go there, it's actually quite nice because they have vents coming out of the bottom that let in cool air. And if anyone's ever been to an electronic show before, you know it gets ridiculously hot. Everyone's sweating, but they have cool air vents shooting up cold air at you, which is just so refreshing after a couple hours of dancing, and it feels amazing, and just keeps the room at a temperature that is much more comfortable to have a dance party in. And for a show like Iron and Wine, it had amazing acoustics. The theater is beautiful, and the whole thing was just so much fun. I actually went with my dad in November to see Iron and Wine there, and it was a lot of fun. As far as parking at the Fox Theater, it's a little tough. I've never parked there myself, simply because I was told that it is not recommended to park there. It's in Oakland, so it's a little bit sketchy, but what I've done in the past is I've driven my car to the North Berkeley BART station, and then parked it there, and BARTed to the 19th Street BART station in Oakland, and hopped out and walked over. It's literally across the street from the Fox Theater. Perfect placement, and it's I've never had a single problem with any sketchy things happening to me. It was just walk right on in, walk right on out, and it's been very safe. And some shows come to the Fox Theater in Oakland. We have Kraftwerk. Now Kraftwerk is, I can't believe they're still going. They actually started up in the 70s, and some people call them like the creators of electronic music, and they certainly have influenced music today more than anyone really knows about. They're a very influential group that is now doing another tour. And they've got to be old now. If they were doing like music in the 70s, they've got to be up there by now. So I respect the fact that they're still going on tour and pleasing all the fans that they've had for years. And what's really cool about this concert is it's actually a 3D concert. Now, personally, I don't actually know what that means, but I'm guessing it's going to be awesome, because when is 3D not good? So Kraftwerk is coming March 25th at 8 p.m. They're actually also coming March 24th and March 23rd, except those two shows are sold out. So I'm advising you, the March 25th show is not sold out, so if you need to get tickets, go get them now. Lord is coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland March 26th and 27th at 8 p.m. Now, unfortunately, both of those shows are sold out, but I'm sure you can score some tickets on StubHub for like 70, 80 bucks or something like that. If you're a true Lord fan, you'd have no problem paying that amount, because seeing her is kind of rare. I don't imagine she'll be coming back here very often, considering she's from New Zealand. So, Lord, March 26th, 27th at 8 p.m. Empire of the Sun is also coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland, April 18th at 8 p.m. And that'll be a really cool show. I love Empire of the Sun. Not a huge fan, but I've listened to a lot of their music all throughout high school and things like that. So, Empire of the Sun, April 18th at 8 p.m. Now, one thing I want to talk about in this segment of the show is, as most of you know, and I've talked about today a little bit, is I love electronic shows, or raves, as some people call them, but I don't really like to call them raves. I like to call them electronic music shows, or something like that. And so I am a huge, huge fan, and it's actually grown in popularity quite a bit in the past 5 years. It has become a very, very popular thing to do now, to go just dance your face off. And so I wanted to let you guys know of some electronic shows coming up in the area, regardless of venue and everything like that. So, upcoming, we have the Electronic Bounce House, is March 21st, and we have some big people coming to the Electronic Bounce House. We have Tiesto, Afrojack, and Calvin Harris coming to the SAP Center in San Jose for Electric Bounce House. Man, that is mind-blowing. Tiesto, Afrojack, and Calvin Harris all under the same roof. That is going to be epic. March 21st, San Jose SAP Center at 7:30. Wow, I wish I could go to that. We have Datsik and Protohype coming to the Regency Ballroom March 7th at 9 p.m. Datsik is a great artist. He comes out with a lot of good music. It's very hard. Very hard, kind of dubsteppy, very, very rough music. And it's, I love it. I love dancing my face off to it, and it's great. Absolutely great. A show I will be attending is 12th Planet and SPL at the Regency Ballroom in March 22nd. Me and my buddy Jack are going to go hit that up. 12th Planet and SPL are two amazing artists, both signed to Smog Records. And 12th Planet is a dubstep kind of producer who, he's been around for a very long time, and he's just managed to keep up with the flow of things, because dubstep has changed quite drastically over the past couple years, and he's been able to keep up and still drop some sick beats, so I'm stoked to see him. And SPL is one of my favorite DJs right now, because he comes out with this very kind of unique and cool style that I can totally get down to, and it's honestly awesome. I love it. So 12th Planet and SPL coming to the Regency Ballroom March 22nd. I will be there. Let me know if you're coming, and we can stop by and say hello. Netsky is coming to the Regency Ballroom April 11th at 9 p.m. And Netsky's actually really cool. I like a lot of his music. He's not as much not as hard as like 12th Planet or Datsik. So he's much more of like a Zed type person. But I've seen many artists who I thought would be kind of more of a calm show when I went there, but it ended up being some of the most insane shows I've been to. So Netsky, Regency Ballroom, April 11th, 9 p.m. And lastly, we have Armin van Buuren coming to the SAP Center in San Jose, May 1st, 7 p.m. Now, Armin van Buuren was named DJ Mag's top DJ for multiple years in a row. I think he was replaced by someone this year. I think it was Alesso, but Armin van Buuren was known as the king of electronic music for a long time. And so to see him live would be absolutely incredible. But tickets are too expensive for my taste, so I will not be attending. But for those of you who are huge Armin fans, please go. Please go and tell me how it is, because I'll be very, very jealous. All right, well, that concludes this segment today for the live music portion. It was a great segment, and I truly love talking about that kind of stuff, because it's one of those things that I've just had a huge passion for quite some time. Now, we'll be right back after this short break. This is 1957 by the band Milo Green. Covered in ivy green. That was the band Milo Green with their song 1957. And I actually have a fun fact about that band. My English teacher in high school was actually close friends to, now all of them, but one of the guitarists that helped start Milo Green. And I was actually at a music festival over the summer and got to meet some of the members of Milo Green because my English teacher was there, and it was a lot of fun. They're an absolutely wonderful band. I highly suggest you check them out. And they've got a great sound. Quality music, just nothing but positives for them. So now we're going to go back to some crazy and outrageous news stories for this week while we wrap up this show here, coming close up to 5 o'clock. Unfortunately, a kid in Chicago has been faced with felony charges for assaulting a police officer, not with a knife, not with a gun, but with a snowball. A snowball. And he's being charged for a felony of assaulting an officer. And it says here, he didn't even hit the officer directly. He hit the car. It was school just got out. The kid threw the snowball at the police vehicle. Granted, not a smart move. This kid's 13 years old. He should know better. Though, then again, it's just a snowball. It's not like he was physically trying to harm the officer. He wasn't trying to do damage to the officer. I guess that could have been his motive, but I mean, I think you'd want to go up and, like, punch the mirror or kick the mirror off or something if you were really wanting to do damage to the vehicle. If you're throwing a snowball, it's a playful act. Honestly, everyone knows that throwing a snowball is just for fun. And it says here, it's just going overboard. And if I can see if it were a weapon and harm was done, but it was just a snowball. This is just a case of kids being kids. LaTanya Powell, a construction worker that was on the block at the time, said that statement. And I totally agree. That is just a kid being a kid. That is preposterous that a man could be, a boy, could be charged with a felony for throwing a snowball. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And Ray Fields, an educator who lives on the block, disagreed, saying an arrest could help the boy change his ways. If the boy had gotten away with it, who's to say what they'd do next? If it doesn't stick to them now, they'll be 16 or 17 and they'll have a gun. See, this is where I completely and utterly disagree. No, just absolutely not. Just because he threw a snowball at a cop car now doesn't mean he's going to up the stakes in 4 years. It's not like that's not a logical step. Right now, he's doing absolutely no harm. He's playfully throwing a snowball at a cop car. That doesn't mean he wants to now move up to guns because that's just what he's going to do in the next 4 years. That's an absolutely ridiculous statement. And it actually reminds me of a story that happened to me when I was a kid. Actually, around the age 13, too. My buddy Justin and I were at Santa Cruz, and we went to the boardwalk. And they have that ride where you can ride the little cable car thing that takes you across the park from one end to the other. And we just stopped by this candy shop, and I got these little Jawbreakers, about half the size of a dime, and I got a whole little bag of them. Whole little bag. And I was so stoked. And we got on the little ride, and it started taking us across. And I thought, you know what would be really cool? If I just tossed one of these off. And I did. And I threw it. And it was awesome, because it landed right in front of a guy, and it bounced up. And he got very shocked as to why there was a Jawbreaker landing at his feet. No one was injured. Nothing happened. I thought it was fun, and so we kept throwing them off occasionally. None of them ever hit anybody. We would try to throw them in cups and things at people below us. Yeah, we were being stupid 13-year-old kids. Not a good thing to do. Not smart. But we weren't hurting anybody. At all. And we were just throwing them at people, and then all of a sudden, the ride comes to a complete stop. And we're like, that's not good, considering that we just threw things, and now the ride has come to a complete stop. And so now we're all concerned. We're all nervous. We're getting up. We're getting down, and we're freaking out. We're like, oh, we're going to get arrested for throwing Jawbreakers. And so we get off the ride, and we're stopped by a man in a yellow vest. And he has a badge that says Boardwalk Security. So essentially, he's a rent-a-cop. And he says to us, and he holds, like, dead serious, he holds up a mini Jawbreaker and says, "Is this yours?" I had to keep myself from laughing because that was absolutely hilarious. And so I say, "Yes, it is." And he said, "Did you throw it off?" And me being a 13-year-old kid, I decided to try to come up with an excuse. I said, "No, I was eating it and it fell out of my mouth." And he said, "So that's why we saw you throw about 15 of these things off the edge?" And I was caught. And I realized it, so I admitted. I was like, "Yes, I did throw them off." And he got very angry. "This is a disgrace to this park. What's next? What, in a couple of years, you're going to come back and start throwing beer bottles off the top?" And same thing with the kids. The guy saying the kid's going to bring a gun. No, that is absolutely an illogical thing to think. No, just because we were throwing harmless mini Jawbreakers does not mean in a couple of years we're going to actually want to inflict harm on somebody. That's a ridiculous statement. In my mind, that is totally just not right. I don't see how your mind could be making that conclusion. There are two totally different things. Doing a harmless act that is a little rude, yes, versus actually doing damage to someone is totally wildly different. I just have a hard time with people saying things like that. And I'm quite angry that this kid actually ended up getting a felony for this, allegedly getting a felony for this, because he's also been suspended from school for 5 days. So this kid is not, like, this isn't, honestly, the cop should have just gotten out and given him a very stern talking to. Because even talking to that rent-a-cop, I was nervous as heck. I'm a 13-year-old kid. This guy could crush me. He could throw me out of the park. What's my mom gonna say? I mean, he's got enough power over the kid. I think just a stern talking to him would help. I don't think he should be charged with a felony for it. So, that's my view on it. But, you know, I guess other people have different opinions on it. So that's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous in my mind. So, in France, cops are actually getting high because they seized so much marijuana. They have so much marijuana that they seized that it's stinking up the whole room, and any cop that walks in there is actually getting high. Now, at first, I had a hard time believing this because I was like, you know, I really don't think that's how that works. I think you have to smoke it in order to get high. That's why people do that. and they don't just walk near it and get stoned. Except, they're saying that they actually drug test these cops, and it's coming back positive for marijuana. So either every single one of these cops is thinking, okay, this is our moment, we can finally smoke weed, which I think is highly unlikely, and or actually just the fumes of it are actually get like enough to get it in their system, which is crazy. And some of them complain of dizziness and headaches, which blows my mind. That is so strange. I never thought that that was possible, that they seized so much marijuana that they're actually just getting high from being in the same room, which is kind of ridiculous in my mind. But hey, you know, I guess that's kind of hilarious. I don't know. But it also said that they were worried because what if an officer gets drug tested and just by inhaling the fumes from the room, they suspect him that he actually smoked marijuana when really he was just doing his job and inspecting the room. So it's hard to tell, and it's not a good situation, I guess, but I think that's pretty funny that cops can actually just get high because they're in the same room as a large amount of marijuana. That's pretty funny in my mind. Up next for our news story, a man in Iowa lost his job and unemployment benefits for using a forklift to get a candy bar from a malfunctioning vending machine. So basically what happened is this man put in a dollar for a Twix, for a 90-cent Twix. And the Twix, the thing spun and spun and spun, but the Twix bar got caught on the hook. And so he tried tipping it, he tried shaking it, and nothing happened. That Twix bar was not coming out. So, he decided that using the forklift was a great idea. Just the only logical explanation to get his 90-cent Twix out was to get the forklift out and pick it up and drop it multiple times. 6 times, actually, here it says, and he dropped it about 2 feet onto the concrete floor. 6 times. And 3 candy bars fell. So I guess, in the end, he is making a profit here. He put in a dollar, but he's getting 3 out. I mean, that's a good enough reasoning for me. I this is hilarious to me. I just, why someone would do that is kind of out, it blows my mind. How could you think that you wouldn't get fired for that? You're picking up a vending machine with a forklift. Not only is that probably cutting out of your break time probably doesn't have enough time for you to get a forklift, lift a vending machine up and down 6 times, and then get your 3 candy bars, eat them all in 1 single break time. I don't think that your break is long enough. And if it is, I want your job, because that's awesome. And it says here he was fired 5 days later, and he told the newspaper that recently that he never lifted and dropped the vending machine, but he did use the forklift to move the machine back in place. Which I have a hard time believing, because why would all of his friends be saying he picked it up like 6 times, and I have a hard time believing that he is completely innocent. The machine was trouble, he said. They fired me, and now I hear they have all new vending machines there. Poor guy. Poor guy. Just as they get new vending machines, he's fired. What a coincidence. Poor guy. Alrighty, guys. Thank you very much for listening to this week's Bizarro with DJ Hafo on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I had a great time. I hope you did, too. Tune in next week at Tuesday at 4 o'clock for the show. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.